You may wonder why I read from John chapter 19. You say, well, shouldn't we read that at Easter? Well, the truth is, of course, Christmas is all about Easter, so no problem there. Please turn with me to John chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." The Lord Jesus Christ declares his work on Calvary's cross is done. And he gives up his own life. The cross, that momentous event on which all of history turns. And this, the decisive moment, God in his wisdom gives us this expression that we may, as it were, put our finger on that moment when all was done. Jesus finished what he'd come to do. Why was he born in Bethlehem? Why it was to accomplish precisely what he accomplished here when he said, "It is finished." Well, there's a lot of talk these days still, despite the changing of time and different governments. There's still so much financial instability, uncertainty in the world. No one knows if they're going to get their pension. No one knows if they're going to get a pay rise. No one knows if their savings are safe. No one knows if politicians are telling the truth, but then I suppose that's always been the case. But nothing is certain. It seems like you can't trust anything. You can't trust anyone. Whose word can you trust? Well, what I want to speak to you this morning about are these few words. And what I want to call them is an unfailing guarantee. An unfailing guarantee from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. What's led up to these words? How far back should we go? If we want to ask, well, what is finished? If we want to look back and say, well, what's he talking about? How far back should we go? Should we go back to his arrest? Should we go back to the launch of his ministry, 3 years or so? Should we go back to Bethlehem? We'll be thinking a lot about Bethlehem. But where do we go back to? Back to Eden, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the first sin? Do we go back even to creation? No, the reality is that we go back to before the foundation of the world, when we understand what it means when Jesus said, "It is finished." Ephesians 1:4 says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world." And 1 Peter 1:20, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Those who are saved by grace were chosen before time began. And the Lord Jesus Christ was appointed to come and suffer and die at this precise moment in history. At this precise moment. Indeed, everything he did was appointed and foreordained, was foretold by the prophets. His birth in Bethlehem, his ministry, all that he did, all appointed. And he is fulfilling a great and glorious plan. There at the cross, what did he do? Why, he paid the price for sin, for all who believe in him. The debt outstanding since Adam fell. And that sacrifice he made, which is pointed to by all the sacrifices offered by God's people through the Old Testament era. And you say, well, what is it that is finished? His life? Well, you could say in a sense, yes. His life did come to an end. At that moment, he died. He really died. But we can say yes and no, because he said that he would take his life again when his father raised him from the dead. He says it in John 10. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. What is finished, friends, once and for all, is the atonement. The atonement. The payment of the price for sin. The bearing of the punishment due for our sin. And not just in what he did at Calvary's cross, but in his birth and his perfect life. He didn't go to the cross as any other man. He went to the cross as the perfect man because he kept God's law perfectly. He was a Jew, so he lived as a Jew should live, perfectly keeping every aspect of his Father's law. Everything he did, his obedience, his humiliation, the fulfillment of all the prophecies, the defeat of all his enemies at Calvary, even though everything seemed lost. This is a moment of such significance. And Christ's words should be for us a cause of deep reflection, deep thinking. They're a challenge for us, yes. They're a warning as well. They're a great comfort. They are an unfailing guarantee. Well, what else was finished at Calvary? What else was finished in this moment? An entire era of history was finished. Now, you know, it was not many more years, around 40 years, and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And the Lord Jesus foretold that destruction very graphically, and he said that not one stone would stand upon another. And to me, it's a very telling thing that going back to Jerusalem today, and you look through the museums, and you look at the exhibitions and everything else, and they say that there is virtually no evidence for the existence of the temple whatsoever. Now, we know it was there. We know that. But there's virtually no evidence for it because it was utterly destroyed. It was completely obliterated. The Romans did it deliberately, of course. It was to sort of knock the head off the Jewish nation once and for all. And only a handful of Jews held out down in the south at Masada for another few years before the Roman Empire completely crushed the Jewish rebellion. But this is just such a picture of this whole era of history coming to an end. God had dealt with the Jewish people in an extraordinary way. He'd given them many things to observe in the ceremonial law. Many sacrifices, many offerings. He gave them laws. He gave them sacrifices. He gave them ceremonies. He dealt with them specifically. He made a covenant with them specifically. He gave them land. He gave them so many promises. And now all that was come to an end. That system finished. Because it all pointed to Messiah, and he was the promised one. And there was to be no more Passover lamb, no more morning and evening sacrifices, because the Lamb of God had died once and for all. It's a very strange notion to have an altar in a church today. So many church buildings have altars in, and it's a very strange thing. Well, it can't be. Perhaps it's an accident of architecture and history. But you certainly shouldn't go on calling it an altar. Why? Because we don't need an altar. Jesus said, it is finished. That's the end. His sacrifice is the last sacrifice. The altar is the place of sacrifice. We don't need one. Christ is the only sacrifice. You say, okay. I understand a bit about what was finished and what Jesus did. But what's it got to do with us today? Well, it's got everything to do with us, with you and me today. We can understand all these things like some kind of academic theory. We can have it all lined up in our heads and we can know the facts, as it were. And I'm pretty sure that everyone in this room actually does know the facts. Or we can stop and hear the Saviour's voice and hear him cry, "It is finished," and know what he did. And if we trust in him, we know that what he did for us. We who are sinners. Now, sin is a word that's out of vogue. It's a word that's out of fashion. No one wants to talk about it. And it's just a reality. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all broken God's laws. We can't live up to his standards. Whether you look at the Ten Commandments, that expression of God's eternal law in the Old Testament, whether you look at what the Lord Jesus said when he summed up the Ten Commandments in just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbour as yourself. You see, nobody has kept these commandments. Nobody's kept them except for the one man who hung upon the cross. That one man. The God man. On the cross he finished the power of the law to condemn people. Our sin no longer can drag us down to judgment. In a world where nothing is certain, here is one thing we can be absolutely certain of. It is finished. It is finished. And I want to say two things about what that means. Because I said, what does it mean for us? And I just want to say two things about it. The first thing is this. That Jesus said it is finished means that what he did is all sufficient. I love that expression. I love that expression also. There's even a hymn that begins, "Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is thy worth." What he has done is all sufficient. No one, firstly, is too bad for Christ. These things we can think about. What he has done is all sufficient. So, no one is too bad for Christ. It's not finished except for that one over there, and him down the road, and her around the corner, and Hitler and Stalin and a few other people that we don't like. It's not finished except for these terrible people that we can think of. Now, those might be extreme examples. But we can all think of somebody who we can think of, and perhaps we think, well, they live a much worse life than I do. No, it is finished. Means what it says. What Christ has done is all sufficient. No one is too bad to come to him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What Christ has done is all sufficient. And another thing is this. As it's all sufficient, no one can sin too much. And so it's connected with the first thing, true. No one can sin too much. People come to Christ and struggle with sin and get cast down by repeated struggles with sin. You need to remember this. Jesus said, "It is finished." And you cannot out-sin the store of mercy that God has provided in Christ at Calvary's cross. It is finished. There's no excuse to just sin, of course. We must fight against it. But friends, if you are cast down this morning and you've had some battle or struggle in your life and say, I've failed again. God, I've failed again. Jesus, I've failed you again and I don't even want to pray. I'm sure you've been in that place before. Or you go to pray and you sit down and you think to yourself, I don't even want to pray. I'm too ashamed to pray. I've mucked up again. I've failed. It is finished. You can't sin too much. Just come back to Christ. Repent. Believe in him. What he has done is all sufficient. And here's another thing. No one single sin is too grave, is unpardonable. There's no qualification. Every breach of the law you could possibly make is covered in what Christ has done at Calvary's cross. He says, it is finished. Even extreme so-called sins. There's grace for murderers. There's grace for rapists. There's grace for child abusers. Now, how offensive is that? Most people don't want to think about that. Most people find that too much. No, no, no. God would never forgive somebody like that. It shouldn't be offensive to us. It should just be wonderful. Just wonderful. Any sin may be forgiven. All sin can be forgiven. Jesus said, it is finished. The price is paid. All sufficient is what he did at Calvary's cross, is why he was born in Bethlehem. All sufficient is his work. And friends, it shouldn't offend us. If it offends you, then you've got a problem with pride and you think too much of yourself. Is it God only forgives people who are half good already? That's not how he works. That's not who he takes. That's not who he calls. It should be wonderful. When Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary's cross, he knew you. He knew what you would do, what you would think, what you would say, what you would do, the sins which you would commit, and he died and he atoned for them. He's paid the price. Again, I repeat, it's not a license to sin, and if we love Christ, we don't want to sin anyway. But here's another thought about how all-sufficient it is. And it's a very precious one. The Lord Jesus Christ could not do more for you or more for me than he has already done. It's in those words. It is finished. He could not do anything more for you than he has already done. Nothing. He's done it all. He's done it all. It's wonderful. The gospel is wonderful. The grace of Christ is glorious. He's done it all. It is finished. If you trust in him, he has done everything. Couldn't have done less for you. He couldn't have done more. He has done everything. What he has done is all sufficient. And friends, in these words, it is finished, there is so much comfort. But because it is all sufficient, it's not just, I'm sure you know, it's not just about paying penalty for our sin. It is that what he did at Calvary's cross was to take our place, that we might be justified in the sight of God, so that it might be just as if I'd never sinned. So we spoke about this so recently when we looked at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is the wonderful reality. It's not just that you are a forgiven sinner, but that in the sight of God, because of Christ, it is as though you had never sinned at all. And you're not a guilty convict whose sentence has been paid by, whose fine has been paid by another. You are declared to be an innocent man or woman. And you walk out of the dock, and another stands there and is declared to be guilty. What Jesus Christ has done is all sufficient. And we have in Calvary's cross freedom from guilt. Your sin, when you've come to Christ and asked him to forgive you, when you've repented of your sin, when you've believed in Christ, your sin is past and done. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. God throws your sins behind His back. He casts them into the sea of His forgetfulness. All sufficient. It is finished. And one other thing I will say, the second thing I said I was going to mention. It's all sufficient. And it is absolutely reliable. Absolutely reliable. This is an unfailing guarantee. This bank draft, this check has been signed by God. This promise is underwritten by Almighty God. He says, I am the Lord. I do not change. Jesus said, it is finished, so it is finished. Who is He? He is God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is eternally God, eternally divine. And His words upon the cross are as authoritative as His words anywhere else. His words upon the cross are as authoritative as His words when He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, it is finished. It's a sure and certain thing. Well, people say nothing is certain. Nothing is certain apart from death and taxes. That's a good favourite old expression. Some of you haven't started paying taxes yet. Some of you have, and you know what it's like. You think you've got so much and you haven't, because it's gone. And you never even saw it. Never even got to put your hand on it. Nothing is certain apart from death and taxes. Well, whoever they are who say that nothing is certain apart from death and taxes have overlooked one other thing. Nothing is certain apart from the certainty of forgiveness of sins and eternal life for those who trust in Jesus Christ. It's an unfailing guarantee. His words are all sufficient. His words are absolutely reliable. Can you hear the voice that cries out, it is finished, and doubt Him? This is the same voice that spoke the world into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Or as John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He made all things. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. Do you hear Him say, it is finished, and doubt Him? You can't. You shouldn't. You mustn't. Friends, this is the solid ground. This is the rock. He, Jesus Christ, is the rock. He is the light of the world. He is the one that you must build your life upon. He is the only one whom you can build your life upon. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Just look around you. Just look around you. Just open your ears and open your eyes. Look at the media. Listen to what people say. Listen to people's lives and hear the rhythm of life and the attitude that people have. You will hear nothing but uncertainty and opinion matched against opinion. The whole world has turned into the greatest phone-in I've ever come across. I'm getting so fed up of phone-ins. It's just not real. Every time there's a phone in these days, I'm changing over to a music station instead. Just can't cope with it anymore. Everyone's got an opinion, and every opinion seems to me to be as uncertain as the last one. There's a rock upon which you can place your feet. There's a Saviour whom you can trust. His name is Jesus Christ. And He said, it is finished. He knew what He did on Calvary's cross. And friends, if you trust in Him And if he is your Saviour, then you can know this, that he thought of you amongst all his people, that he knew who he was dying for, that he knew who he was suffering for. He knew in advance and he knew there. He knew what he was going to do and he went to do it. He knew what was happening and there he went through with it. He could at any time have ended it. He could have walked away from it. He could have come down from the cross. He could have commanded hosts of angels to do his will. He did not. He knew you. Knew all your sin. All your shame. Even those sins that are so vile that you never told your mum, your dad, your husband, your wife, your best friend, whoever. Those things that are hidden in the depths of your heart that you're so ashamed of. Those thoughts that you've had that you could never tell anyone about. He knows those. He saw those. He died for you. And he went on and on and on and on until it was finished. He didn't stop. Friends, you can doubt yourself as much as you like, but never doubt him. Never doubt him. It is finished, he says. Christ has accomplished salvation. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can bring to this. And this just kicks us. It rebukes our pride. People say, well, I've done this thing and that thing. It's finished. It was done before you were born. Do you think your life has any impact upon your salvation? Do you think your good deeds have anything to do with whether God accepts you, whether your sin is forgiven, whether you are justified? It was done before you were born. How can what you do have any impact upon your standing before God? It can't. It's finished. It's done. What do I bring then? What do I bring? Nothing. I come as I am before the living God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What Christ has done is amazing. So how do we respond to it? Friends, there must be a response. There will be, whether you admit it or not, a response in every single person here this morning. All of us have a response. It's your move. Every promise of God was most perfectly fulfilled in that moment on Calvary's cross. We're not talking about some future event, but a past certainty. He said, it is finished. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, draw your comfort here. Draw your comfort here. Be inspired every day that whatever you have done, however you have slipped up, just turn back to God in Christ. Repent and believe. He will forgive you. He has done all things for you. Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. Ha! Satan says he won't forgive you this time. You've done it this time. You've blown it this time. You might as well just carry on in your sin and get what you can out of it, because God's not interested in you. He lies. Jesus said, it is finished. There it is. Maybe you're not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning. You must turn to him. He can deal with everything you bring to him this morning. Everything. And present you faultless to his Father, because he has purchased the right to do so. He said, it is finished. Don't you dare look anywhere else for salvation. Don't you dare look anywhere else for the food that will satisfy the craving, the hunger of your never dying soul. You have been made to know God and to live for his glory. And if you don't, you'll always have that hunger inside of you, that broken off relationship gnawing at you. Reconciliation to the one who has made you is completed in Christ. And there's no other way. Every other way ends in death, in loss, in disappointment. Hear the Saviour's voice this morning. He said, "It is finished." Take him at his word. Take him at his word. Here is certainty. Here is truth. Here is a personal, unfailing guarantee of everlasting life. Don't waste your life. Don't waste another moment of your life. But run to the cross. For the child in the manger becomes the man upon the cross. And in him, everything you need for life and for eternity will be found. He has done it all. Jesus said, "It is finished." May he bless his word to our hearts this morning.